College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Guess who's kicking it with former President Donald Trump in Milwaukee at the Republican National Convention? Amber Rose, former stripper, Kanye West's ex-girlfriend, Wiz Khalifa's baby's mama. Doesn't sound anything like anybody at the Republican Party would welcome at the convention. Not only is she there, she is a featured speaker. What in the heezy is going on in this peasy? I got to make heads or tails of this thing because it is looking crazier by the minute. Brian McDaniel with Hilden Advocacy and Law, my good friend and trusted confidant. You've seen him on Tom Hauser's At Issue. You've seen him on Almanac on the Big Couch with Kathy and Eric. One of the people who helped me organize and orchestrate Black Entrepreneurs Day at the Capitol is joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. You know, Brian, I mean, can I go and be a part of the convention? How the hell did Amber Rose get a speaking opportunity at the Republican convention in Milwaukee?
Well, Shalana, first of all, thank you for allowing me back on the program. You know, Republicans, you know, quite obviously have had a lot of trouble reaching out to younger people and minority groups, although Amber Rose probably doesn't really speak to younger people as much as people in their 40s or 50s now. And, you know, probably know this is, you know, she's had deeply held conservative beliefs her whole life. I don't know, but it's important for the Republicans who don't have access to a lot of high-profile African-American people to get as many of them up on television as possible. Although I would say that Amber Rose, I promise you, I forgot that she existed.
I was going to say, she started campaigning for Trump and started talking about her speaking role at the Republican National Convention, I had not heard high or hair of her in a while. It's been a while.
Well, the only thing, you know, and I realize probably she is on there for not legitimate reasons. But what I would say is that the best way for women and people of color to get heard in the Republican Party is to infiltrate it and to get into positions at the party. And there are parts of the party I'm sure they do not find attractive. You can change that from the inside a lot better than you can the outside.
Now, that is true.
Horrendous
that,
job.
That
They've
is
done a
true.
Horrendous job of making people feel welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, and we got to talk about what's going on in Cottage Grove because it's storming here, but there's a storm brewing as well because I tell you, my doorbell, they were ringing like crazy. I had Angie Craig's campaign. There were two Republicans vying for that primary. Early voting has already started, and they were coming by the house at lunchtime, and folks were ringing the bell in the evening, and they want to talk, and they want to pass out the flyers, and, you know, the door alarm was going off. Who is ordering all this stuff from Amazon? Mm-mm, it's the political candidates. But you're saying somebody dropped out? What's going on?
Yeah, no, big news today. Big news today in the Republican Party. So the endorsed Republican candidate down in the 2nd Congressional District where you live and where I live, a gentleman named Taylor Rahm, he decided to drop out of the race and go work for the Trump campaign in Minnesota. And while at first blush, that probably sounds good for Angie Craig, who, you know, is in a very, very, very tight district, Actually, it's quite bad for her because Tyler Rahm, even though he was endorsed, had a primary opponent who is the son of a Sudanese immigrant. He is a captain in the Marines, or was a captain in the Marines. He is an attorney. He is a very a well-respected, normal Republican. So now that gentleman, his name is Joe Taurab, is going to be the endorsed, is going to win the endorsement in the primary this fall. So it'll be Angie Craig versus a much more electable Republican. Now, she's been, her voting record recently has been very conservative on votes on the border. She came out very recently saying that Joe Biden should not be the candidate. So she is trying to mirror her district, but you know that might be alienating progressive votes for her. So her race got harder today.
And I didn't even look at it like that. I didn't think about it like that. I thought, okay, she has one less challenger. But you're saying that this is going to unify the party behind one person and pose a bigger threat to her candidacy. And I mean, it was almost like as soon as I got off the phone with you, you know, to, you know, get this information and have it ready for the show, I got, you know, a notice. It's official. I'm up against Republican Joe this November. And she starts talking about the Angie, you know, this, the email that I got, rush in a donation of any amount to help us fight back and win this November. And so apparently she's already feeling the pressure from this sudden dropout of the candidate.
Yeah, so Tyler Rahm, who's the gentleman who dropped out, he was, you know, on the pretty extreme, you know, right wing of the party, and Joe Taurab is much more in the, you know, more mainstream. So Joe Taurab is going to appeal much more to those voters, you know, in the middle who don't really consider themselves Republicans or Democrats anymore. So, you know, I do think it got tougher for her. But even with Taylor Rahm, you know, the 2nd Congressional District is a 50-50 district. So no matter who runs on the Republican side, no matter who runs on the Democrat side, it's going to be a very close race with millions of dollars spent trying to influence the electorate.
Okay, we got to take a short commercial break. But when we come back, talk about appealing to voters. You know, we're looking at Biden and his age and what younger voters are saying. It's all over CNN, over MSNBC. So many folks are saying we don't have a choice. Young people are saying they don't want to vote. They don't have anything to vote for. And does anybody owe Dean Phillips an apology? I'm going to ask that question to Brian McDaniel with Hilden Advocacy and Law when we come back. I said it, and I'll say it again. I posted it on social media. I'm not taking it down. Somebody owes Dean Phillips an apology because he was just brave enough and courageous enough to say what we all see is that Joe Biden is too old to run for office. I wouldn't let him babysit my kids. So why would I let him run this country? Because my kids would run all over him. There's no way he can keep up with the kids. How's he going to keep up with the country? I got to talk to Brian McDaniel from Hilden Advocacy and Law, longtime political expert here in the Twin Cities, a trusted voice on historic and award-winning shows like Almanac on TPT and Tom Hauser's At Issue on KSTP. Brian, do you think somebody owes Dean Phillips an apology?
Oh, without question. You and I, you know, talked about the Dean Phillips candidacy for president, and we spoke reasonably negative about his chances of winning, never negatively about Dean, because we both know him and both like him very much. But what is frustrating about this, and you know, for your listeners, to remind them, you know, my background is Republican politics. I worked for the House of Representatives, I worked for Speaker of the House, I worked for a Republican governor, and but that being said, you know, I have not been a Trump supporter. I didn't vote for him in 16 or in 20 because I didn't feel he represented my views, values, or party very well. what is frustrating about this is so many people tried to hide Joe Biden's cognitive decline, which was obvious. It was obvious. This debate where he fumbled the bag, that was not, oh my gosh, we can't believe Joe Biden's not up to the task. He hasn't been up to the task for a number of years. Go on YouTube, everybody, there, or TikTok. There is gaff after gaff after gaff. And when Dean Phillips was out kind of saying that the emperor has no clothes, everybody mocked him. They either mocked him for being wrong or mocked him for, you know, being selfish. Like, this is something that Dean needs to do. And you and I, you and I can sleep well at night. We didn't say anything negative about Dean himself. However, there are people like, you know, Senator Tina Smith, who openly mocked Dean Phillips, and other people in the Democrat Party who really, really disparaged him. And he was trying to save the Democrats from being exactly where they are right now, which is with only bad options. Either they go forward with Joe Biden, who is losing support from young people and people with eyes and ears left and right, or removing Biden and going forward with Kamala Harris, whose poll numbers are not better than Joe Biden's, or, you know, even though this would be extraordinarily difficult for them to do procedurally, going with someone like Gretchen Whitmer or Gavin Newsom. And Ms. Shaletta, what would you feel like if they passed over Kamala?
Oh, Jesus.
You would lose your mind. And so they have nothing but bad options.
Oh, my God. And you know, it was black women that carried them in Georgia and South Carolina because of Kamala Harris. And so if they are even thinking about alienating black women by not selecting her, if he decides to step down and go on with someone else, they can pretty much forget about that vote, which is already on the fence, because we feel like we got played last time. You know, I'm trying to figure out how Dean became the sacrificial lamb. I cannot wait to see his interview tomorrow morning. It's the first one that he's done since all this has come out. But Brian, how is it? And I don't know, maybe we got busy with life and laundry, that we didn't realize that Joe Biden had not done a news conference all year long, and it's July. They were like, oh, he's got his first news conference. I'm like, we ain't talked. So everything that we've seen has been pre-produced. Everything that we've seen, you know, they have orchestrated. Even the interview with the reporter at the black radio station, they sent in questions for her to answer, and she picked from the questions. She's now been fired. You know, how has this gone on since January 1?
Well, let me put my Republican hat back on and say that I think the mainstream media was somewhat complicit with this. Joe Biden hasn't had a cabinet meeting for 9 months. Who is running this country? If it's unelected people who are running this, then for every person who says, oh, Donald Trump is a threat to democracy, well, a threat to democracy is allowing non-elected people to run our government. But I think that the media did not hold the Biden campaign and administration to task, because the threat of Donald Trump being president is so abhorrent to them that they didn't necessarily want to believe what they were seeing with their eyes and ears. They wanted to believe he was up to the task. They didn't do the job that they needed to do informing the American people. And now that they are really covering Joe Biden's cognitive decline, you know, go on Twitter. Democrats are losing their mind talking about how, well, no one covers Donald Trump this way. Well, that's a bunch of bull, because Donald Trump and his legal woes have led every broadcast for how many years now? This is just a little bit fair and balanced, which it hasn't been. And frankly, Mr. Jill Biden and the Biden campaign and the Biden advisors, they are to blame for this. They could have done something where he said, remember when he got elected in 2016, he said he is a bridge to the next generation.
He did say that.
Running again is not being the bridge at, what is he, 81, whatever it is. And hey, we all know, maybe some of us, my grandma turns 100 next week. She's a lovely woman. She shouldn't be president of the United States. Joe Biden does not own this this position, and the Democrats and his family and his advisors have put you and his supporters in this terrible position, and the media let it go on too long. And now it's July 13th, and it's almost too late to do anything other than go right with Biden.
Oh, my God. It is almost too late. But new today is 20 lawmakers are calling for him to step aside. Do you think that that number will grow? Do you think that this is it? You know, I was shocked to see Angie Craig on that list. You know, for a while, Dean Phillips was on this island by himself, like Tom Hanks in Castaway. But now there's steam, there's momentum building. Do you think that number will grow? And do you think it will make a difference?
Well, I think it makes a difference because it keeps the story alive. When George Clooney says, you know, who just threw a huge fundraiser for Biden not that long ago, when he says, the Joe Biden I talked to is not the Joe Biden I've known, when you start seeing other elected officials, both in Minnesota and outside of Minnesota, and you know, what it does is it keeps it in the news, and people who are on the fence are saying, well, I don't like Trump, but I can't vote for this guy either. I'm either going to leave it blank or not vote, and that helps the Republicans, not just for president, but all the way down, you know, to municipal dog catcher. And there's not a good answer. But, like, even Nancy Pelosi was questioning whether Joe Biden should continue. And Joe Biden has very stridently said he's not dropping out. So either he has to embarrass himself by changing his mind, or, I mean, they can't really force him out, or there's just going to have to be more and more people that that you know either threaten to withhold their votes, support, or money. And you know, I can't believe that Biden and his supporters and handlers let it get to this place, because this was not a surprise. This was not a secret. This was something that people could see coming for quite some time.
Yep, and they didn't do anything about it. It's not a surprise to anybody except us, because they knew. They see the man every day. And how we have not really seen the him until this debate and until this news conference, you know, it sounds the alarm. It removes the veil. It wakes us up so that we can start really asking the questions and hold people accountable. You know, he is the president of these United States of America, and we have to make sure and know that he is in tip-top shape and good health to be the president now. I just need him to get through the next term. Y'all worried about whether or not he's fit to hold office again. I'm worried about whether he is fit to hold office right now. All right, Brian, I know you're on the road, headed to do some real fun stuff. I know that you will also be watching Dean Phillips in the morning on CBS. And so we're going to be texting each other. I'm going to be getting your perspective, and we're going to have a text and watch party. This is Appointment TV. So make sure y'all are on your social media channels with me and Brian tomorrow as we live text, tweet, and talk about Dean Phillips on tomorrow morning. You know, we haven't had a really good, like, live talk and text event in a while. I think this is the occasion for just that.
Well, thank you very much, and have a great weekend.
All right, you too, buddy. Guess who's kicking it with former President Donald Trump in Milwaukee at the Republican National Convention? Amber Rose, former stripper, Kanye West's ex-girlfriend, Wiz Khalifa's baby's mama. Doesn't sound anything like anybody at the Republican Party would welcome at the convention. Not only is she there, she is a featured speaker. What in the heezy is going on in this peasy? I got to make heads or tails of this thing because it is looking crazier by the minute. Brian McDaniel with Hilden Advocacy and Law, my good friend and trusted confidant. You've seen him on Tom Hauser's At Issue. You've seen him on Almanac on the Big Couch with Kathy and Eric. One of the people who helped me organize and orchestrate Black Entrepreneurs Day at the Capitol is joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. You know, Brian, I mean, can I go and be a part of the convention? How the hell did Amber Rose get a speaking opportunity at the Republican convention in Milwaukee?
Well, Shalana, first of all, thank you for allowing me back on the program. You know, Republicans, you know, quite obviously have had a lot of trouble reaching out to younger people and minority groups, although Amber Rose probably doesn't really speak to younger people as much as people in their 40s or 50s now. And, you know, for all we know, this is, you know, she's had deeply held conservative beliefs her whole life. I don't know, but it's important for the Republicans who don't have access to a lot of high-profile African-American people to get as many of them up on television as possible. Although I would say that Amber Rose, I promise you, I forgot that she existed.
I was going to say, she started campaigning for Trump and started talking about her speaking role at the Republican National Convention, I had not heard high or hair of her in a while. It's been a while.
Well, the only thing, you know, and I realize probably she is on there for not legitimate reasons. But what I would say is that the best way for women and people of color to get heard in the Republican Party is to infiltrate it and to get into positions at the party. And there are parts of the party I'm sure they do not find attractive. You can change that from the inside a lot better than you can the outside.
Now, that is true.
Horrendous
that,
job.
That
They've
is true.
They've done a horrendous job of making people feel welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, and we got to talk about what's going on in Cottage Grove because it's storming here, but there's a storm brewing as well because I tell you, my doorbell, they were ringing like crazy. I had Angie Craig's campaign. There were two Republicans vying for that primary. Early voting has already started, and they were coming by the house at lunchtime, and folks were ringing the bell in the evening, and they want to talk, and they want to pass out the flyers, and, you know, the door alarm was going off. I was, who is ordering all this stuff from Amazon? Mm-mm, it's the political candidates. But you're saying somebody dropped out? What's going on?
Yeah, no, big news today. Big news today in the Republican Party. So the endorsed Republican candidate down in the second congressional district where you live and where I live, a gentleman named Taylor Rahm, he decided to drop out of the race and go work the Trump campaign in Minnesota. And while at first blush, that probably sounds good for Angie Craig, who, you know, is in a very, very, very tight district, actually, it's quite bad for her because Tyler Rahm, even though he was endorsed, had a primary opponent who is the son of a Sudanese immigrant. He is a captain in the Marines, or was a captain in the Marines. He is an attorney. He is a very well-respected, normal Republican. So now that gentleman, his name is Joe Taurab, is going to be the endorsed, is going to win the endorsement in the primary this fall. So it'll be Angie Craig versus a much more electable Republican. Now, she's been, her voting record recently has been very conservative on votes on the border. She came out very recently saying that Joe Biden should not be the candidate. So she is trying to mirror her district, but you know that might be alienating progressive votes for her. So her race got harder today.
And I didn't even look at it like that. I didn't think about it like that. I thought, okay, she has one less challenger. But you're saying that this is going to unify the party behind one person and pose a bigger threat to her candidacy. And I mean, it was almost like as soon as I got off the phone with you, you know, to, you know, get this information and have it ready for the show, I got, you know, a notice. It's official. I'm up against Republican Joe this November. And she starts talking about the Angie, you know, this the email that I got, rush in a donation of any amount to help us fight back and win this November. And so apparently she's already feeling the pressure from this sudden dropout of the candidate.
Yeah, so Tyler Rahm, who's the gentleman who dropped out, he was you know, on the pretty extreme, you know, right wing of the party, and Joe Taurab is much more in the you know more mainstream. So Joe Taurab is going to appeal much more to those voters, you know, in the middle who don't really consider themselves Republicans or Democrats anymore. So, you know, I do think it got tougher for her. But even with Taylor Rahm, you know, the 2nd Congressional District is a 50-50 district. So no matter who runs on the Republican side, no matter who runs on the Democrat side, it's going to be a very close race with millions of dollars spent trying to influence the electorate.
Okay, we got to take a short commercial break. But when we come back, talk about appealing to voters. You know, we're looking at Biden and his age and what younger voters are saying. It's all over CNN, over MSNBC. So many folks are saying we don't have a choice. Young people are saying they don't want to vote. They don't have anything to vote for. And does anybody owe Dean Phillips an apology? I'm going to ask that question to Brian McDaniel with Hilden Advocacy and Law when we come back. I said it and I say it again. I posted it on social media. I'm not taking it down. Somebody owes Dean Phillips an apology because he was just brave enough and courageous enough to say what we all see is that Joe Biden is too old to run for office. I wouldn't let him babysit my kids. So why would I let him run this country? Because my kids would run all over him. There's no way he can keep up with the kids. How's he going to keep up with the country? I got to talk to Brian McDaniel from Hilden Advocacy and Law, longtime political expert here in the Twin Cities, a trusted voice on historic and award-winning shows like Almanac on TPT and Tom Hauser's At Issue on KSTP. Brian, do you think somebody owes Dean Phillips an apology?
Oh, without question. You and I, you know, talked about the Dean Phillips candidacy for president, and we spoke reasonably negative about his chances of winning, never negatively about Dean, because we both know him and both like him very much. But what is frustrating about this, and, you know, for your listeners, to remind them, you know, my background is Republican politics. I worked for the House of Representatives. I worked for Speaker of the House. I worked for a Republican governor. And but that being said, you know, I have not been a Trump supporter. I didn't vote for him in 16 or in 20 because I didn't feel he represented my views, values, or party very well. What is frustrating about this is so many people tried to hide Joe Biden's cognitive decline, which was obvious. It was obvious. This debate where he fumbled the bag, that was not, oh my gosh, we can't believe Joe Biden's not up to the task. He hasn't been up to the task for a number of years. Go on YouTube, everybody. there, or TikTok, there is gaffe after gaffe after gaffe. And when Dean Phillips was out kind of saying the emperor has no clothes, everybody mocked him. They either mocked him for being wrong or mocked him for, you know, being selfish. Like, this is something that Dean needs to do. And you and I can sleep well at night. We didn't say anything negative about Dean himself. However, there are people like, you know, Senator Tina Smith, who openly mocked Dean Phillips, and other people in the Democrat Party who really, really disparaged him. And he was trying to save the Democrats from being exactly where they are right now, which is with only bad options. Either they go forward with Joe Biden, who is losing support from young people and people with eyes and ears, left and right, or removing Biden and going forward with Kamala Harris, whose poll numbers are not better than Joe Biden's, or, you know, even though this would be extraordinarily difficult for them to do procedurally, going with someone like Gretchen Whitmer or Gavin Newsom. And Ms. Shaletta, what would you feel like if they passed over Kamala?
Oh, Jesus.
You would lose your mind. And so they have nothing but bad options.
Oh, my God. And you know, it was black women that carried them in Georgia and South Carolina because of Kamala Harris. And so if they are even thinking about alienating black women by not selecting her, if he decides to step down and go on with someone else, they can pretty much forget about that vote, which is already on the fence, because we feel like we got played last time. You know, I'm trying to figure out how Dean became the sacrificial lamb. I cannot wait to see his interview tomorrow morning. It's the first one that he's done since all of this has come out. But Brian, how is it? And I don't know, maybe we got busy with life and laundry, that we didn't realize that Joe Biden had not done a news conference all year long, and it's July. They were like, oh, he's got his first news conference. I'm like, we ain't. So everything that we've seen has been pre-produced. Everything that we've seen, you know, they have orchestrated. Even the interview with the reporter at the black radio station, they sent in questions for her to answer, and she picked from the questions. She's now been fired. You know, how has this gone on since January 1?
Well, let me put my Republican hat back on and say that I think the mainstream media was somewhat complicit with this. Joe Biden hasn't had a cabinet meeting for 9 months. Who is running this country? If it's unelected people who are running this, then for every person who says, oh, Donald Trump is a threat to democracy, well, a threat to democracy is allowing non-elected people to run our government. But I think that the media did not hold the Biden campaign and administration to task, because the threat of Donald Trump being president is so abhorrent to them that they didn't necessarily want to believe what they were seeing with their eyes and ears. They wanted to believe he was up to the task. They didn't do the job that they needed to do informing the American people. And now that they are really covering Joe Biden's cognitive decline, you know, go on Twitter. Democrats are losing their mind talking about how, well, no one covers Donald Trump this way. Well, that's a bunch of bull, because Donald Trump and his legal woes have led every newscast for how many years now? This is just a little bit fair and balanced, which it hasn't been. And frankly, Mr. Jill Biden and the Biden campaign and the Biden advisors, they are to blame for this. They could have done something where he said, remember when he got elected in 2016, he said he is a bridge
He did say that.
Running again is not being the bridge at, what is he, 81, whatever it is. And, hey, we all know, maybe some of us, my grandma turns 100 next week. She's a lovely woman. She shouldn't be president of the United States. Joe Biden does not own this this position, and the Democrats and his family and his advisors have put you and his supporters in this terrible position, and the media let it go on too long. And now it's July 13th, and it's almost too late to do anything other than go right with Biden.
Oh, my God. It is almost too late. But new today is 20 lawmakers are calling for him to step aside. Do you think that that number will grow? Do you think that this is it? You know, I was shocked to see Angie Craig on that list. You know, for a while, Dean Phillips was on this island by himself like Tom Hanks in Castaway. But now there's steam, there's momentum building. Do you think that number will grow? And do you think it will make a difference?
Well, I think it makes a difference because it keeps the story alive. When George Clooney says, you know, who just threw a huge fundraiser for Biden not that long ago, when he says, the Joe Biden I talked to is not the Joe Biden I've known, when you start seeing other elected officials, both in Minnesota and outside of Minnesota, and you know, what it does is it keeps it in the news, and people who are on the fence are saying, well, I don't like Trump, but I can't vote for this guy either. I'm either going to leave it blank or not vote, and that helps the Republicans, not just for president, but all the way down, you know, to municipal dog catcher. And there's not a good answer. But, like, even Nancy Pelosi was questioning whether Joe Biden should continue. And Joe Biden has very stridently said he's not dropping out. So either he has to embarrass himself by changing his mind, or, I mean, they can't really force him out, or there's just going to have to be more and more people that that you know either threaten to withhold their votes, support, or money. And you know, I can't believe that Biden and his supporters and handlers let it get to this place, because this was not a surprise. This was not a secret. This was something that people could see coming for quite some time.
Yep, and they didn't do anything about it. It's not a surprise to anybody except us, because they knew. They see the man every day. And how we have not really seen the him until this debate and until this news conference, you know, it sounds the alarm. It removes the veil. It wakes us up so that we can start really asking the questions and hold people accountable. You know, he is the president of these United States of America, and we have to make sure and know that he is in tip-top shape and good health to be the president now. I just need him to get through the next term. Y'all worried about whether or not he's fit to hold office again. I'm worried about whether he is fit to hold office right now. All right, Brian, I know you're on the road, headed to do some real fun stuff. I know that you will also be watching Dean Phillips in the morning on CBS. And so we're going to be texting each other.
Yes,
I'm going to be getting your perspective, and we're going to have a text and watch party. This is Appointment TV. So make sure y'all are on your social media channels with me and Brian tomorrow as we live text, tweet, and talk about Dean Phillips on tomorrow morning. You know, we haven't had a really good, like, live talk and text event in a while. I think this is the occasion for just that.
Well, thank you very much, and have a great weekend.
All right, you too, buddy.